into the Word today, there are a couple of things on my heart that I believe will be a blessing to you as you start out your new year. You know, this is the time of year where people are always making resolutions. I've never been one to make a lot of resolutions because I always find that they kind of fall flat after a while. You know, it's just like, it's just kind of like, it's a fad. It's a thing, you know, the people at work always talk about, what's your resolution? It's like, why do you, maybe you can have some goals. Goals are good. And if you write them down and actually work toward those goals, goals are good. But I think resolutions are not in the same classification as goals. I think resolutions kind of have more of a wishful thinking. You know, I wish to lose weight. I wish to work out more. You know, those wishes don't always pan out. And so I think it's a good idea to set thoughtful goals and to pray about what is a smart goal for you. You know, and this isn't in my notes, but they always say a smart goal is one that you can measure, that is short, that's attainable. That's relative. It's, you know, not like, well, I'm going to run a marathon, you know, in a month from now. Well, if you haven't gotten off your couch, you're not running a marathon in a month. You know, it's just not happening. So there are natural laws that are in place that govern, that God has set up, that govern this world. Natural laws of physics that just are going to preclude you, you know. From running a marathon a month from now, if you're just still sitting on your you know, binge watching on TV, you know. So it is important to set some smart goals that you can measure, that you can attain, and that sort of thing. But today, I want to talk to you about first things first, the saying first things first, and we're just going to get into a couple of things that I had never seen before. Been in the ministry for over 35 years and still haven't seen some of these things. And it's always good to go to the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Good to go in prayer and go to the Word. So let's start right there, and let's thank God for our time in the Word today. Father, we thank you for your Word.
Yes.
Thank you, God, that it has the power to change us, the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. Your Word is living. It's active. It's alive. It can change our circumstances, change our direction. Even if we were going one way, it can help adjust us to go in the right way. Amen. And so, Father, I thank you that as I preach today, Lord, that you would inspire your people, that it would be God-breathed, Father, that would come from my lips, Father, by the Holy Ghost, by your holy written word, and minister to your people, that they would be built up, they would be edified, they would be matured, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. I started off in the pastoral prayer time before. Brenda did a lovely job of reading our Advent.
Yes, she did.
I read out of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. And it is, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. You know, when we think about walking as a Christian, walking in Christ, New Year's opportunities give us a chance to reflect, gives us a chance to reset, gives us a chance to kind of, even if you don't get a lot of time off and you didn't have a long vacation and that sort of thing, some people work very, very long hours during the Christmas season. Even if you didn't get that break that you were longing for, that you were looking for, there is an opportunity to just to kind of take a big deep breath, even if it was for a day or even if it was for like just a shift. It's an opportunity to reflect on what happened in 2022. How did you live this life? How did you walk in him? Did you walk in him? Did you walk in him? Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, said it this way: I must know Jesus, not as the visionary dreams of him, but as the Word reveals him. So, as we start a new year off, there are a couple of things that just kind of come to mind that I wanted to call your attention to. out of, let me get to my notes in this spot here. There is something fascinating. Out of the 27 books in the New Testament, now listen, this is going to connect for you in just a second. 23 of them jump right into Jesus in the very first verse. 23 of the 27 books in the New Testament, the first verse jumps right into Jesus. So if we're going to walk in Him, then our first thing's got to be first. Everything that we set up, all the goals, all of the aspirations that we have for 2023 really need to go through the filter of Jesus first. Is Jesus first? Is He premier? Is He the first place in your life? When we use that phrase, first things first, it usually is used to convey to someone that there are more important things that should be done before less important things. One of the mentors of mine when I was a young Christian, the FBI agent that I have many times referred to, his name is Lee Kaiser, still in the ministry now, retired two times from the FBI after 9/11. They pulled him back into service as a minister and as an accountant. He was a white-collar crime investigator. And so during 9/11, after being retired for many, many years, they actually pulled him back into service after 9/11 to trace down money and things of that nature. And Lee Kaiser used to say this to me when, as a young teenage young man trying to determine the will of God on things, praying through some things, just like any youth leader or any mentor, you know, sometimes we go to those mentors and we ask them questions, right? And we say, I'm just trying to decide between this and this, and Lord, I just don't know what the Lord wants me to do. And so you get a little input, you get a little, especially when somebody who's spiritually more mature than you, and you ask them questions. Hey, what do you think of this? Because maybe they have some insight. And one thing is for sure, nobody else is going to hear God for you. Right? God didn't set it up that way. He set it up that we can have fellowship with Him, that we can have the Holy Ghost on the inside. He will lead and guide you into all truth, and He will speak to you. And we hear His voice. We don't follow the voice of another. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And so, I remember one time having a conversation with Lee Kaiser. And I said, you know, we used to call him Mr. Kaiser. It's before he was in the ministry. He was still in the FBI at that time. And we'd say, Mr. Kaiser, you know, I'm just trying to figure this out. And this is really good over here. And see, there's some things in 2023 are really good. They're right over here. They're really good, right? And they're kind of on the horizon. And then there was some other things, and those are really good. And Mr. Kaiser, I just don't know what to do. He looked at me. I remember sitting in his living room on East Wind Drive in North Palm Beach, Florida. And I was trying to figure out what college to go to. I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. I knew God had called me. I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to figure it out up here and not listen down here like, okay, this is. I also had other voices, right? You know, I knew I really felt like God wanted me to go to Rhema. But my dad at the time, he was not for that. And he was like, no, you need to go and get a real degree. So I honored my dad and my mom, and I prayed about it. And that's when God dropped Oral Roberts University in my heart. It was a Christian university, and that's where I ended up going. But I remember sitting in his living room, and I said, Mr. Kaiser, these are all good choices. And he looked at me and he said, have you ever heard the phrase good is the enemy of the best? And I was like, no, I don't think I've ever heard that. And what he was saying was, we want to find the best. We want to find God's will. And I'm not going to be the one who's going to point it to you. You're going to find that one yourself. And I remember those words, and I remember that interaction with him, and then him praying with me. And then God just beginning to open up doors, and faith started to flood my heart for what the new goal was. Do you understand? See, I was a little directionless. But once I heard from God about looking at all these good options that were on my plate, having somebody pray with me, having somebody basically tell me, listen, you're going to have to make that choice yourself. You're going to hear from God yourself. And he's going to confirm it. And so I remember starting to make those steps toward Oral Roberts University. And the more I started taking those steps, the deeper it got down on the inside. And then all of a sudden, without me even realizing it, I started saying, God told me to go to Oral Roberts University. It wasn't that God appeared to me in my car one night or in my bedroom one night and said, go to Oral Roberts University. That didn't happen. What happened was a slow process of finding God's will got me in a place where I could hear and hear clearly. I got input from family. I got input from my spiritual mentors. I prayed. I was praying. And then once I started making those steps, let me tell you, once I started making those steps, faith was strong. Faith was strong in my heart. I knew. And you said, and what was really interesting is I had never even been to Oral Roberts University to do a campus visit. It was too far away. It was 1,500 miles away. My parents didn't have any financial means to get me there. They didn't have the financial means to pay for it. I didn't have the financial means to pay for it. I didn't even have the grades to barely get in. But I got my acceptance letter. One more step of faith. And then I started making some money. I'm working my side job. Then my boss comes to me one day. I'm working at a computer store, computer center of the Palm Beaches. I was the delivery boy. I delivered the computers to people's homes. My boss pulled me inside his office one day. He says, Doug, do you know Mr. Bolt? And I remember, yeah. And he goes, remember we sold him 5 computers? Back then, that was a lot. That was a lot. We're talking early 1980s. We sold him 5 computers. He lives on the island of Palm Beach. He wants you to install all of them in his house. And then he wants you to tutor his teenage girls. He wants you to tutor them on how to use it. He's willing to pay you $25 an hour. In 1982, $25 an hour. He said, I'm going to let him pay you directly. That's my boss. My boss says, I'm going to let him pay you directly. You figure it out. He not only paid me $25 an hour, but he tipped me. And all I did was play games with his kids on computers. Back then, that's about all the kids could do. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, you really must want me to go to Oral Roberts University. And lo and behold, I started seeing my checking account get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. At the end of the summer, I'm getting ready to pack up everything. My mom says goodbye to my sister, and literally hours later, she says goodbye to me. She's crying because it's just my sister and me, and now she's empty nest. She's crying as my sister, who had just gotten married, is moving and driving off. She's crying as I'm driving off, and my dad looks at her and says, don't worry, he'll be back in a week. He only has about $700 to his name. Whatever he's got in his checking account, he's not coming back. He's going to end up back here at junior college because that's all anybody can do. I drove by faith. See, when God puts something on the horizon for you to do, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Do not let the circumstances dictate your outcome. Because there are giants in the land that will scare you. There are giants in the things that God puts on the horizon for 2023 for you that will cause you to shrink back. I'm telling you, you don't have to shrink back. The reason why I'm telling you that story was because faith grows as you feed it. As you feed it. So I'm getting in the car. I drive away with one of my friends. And I'm still in contact with her. She's married to the chief financial officer of Oral Roberts University today. She's a believer. She's an author, accomplished author, and a wonderful young, well, now she's my age, right? Wonderful young lady. We were just friends. We drove out together. We did it the old-fashioned way. We drove out together, separate hotel rooms. Come on, people. She's just a friend, but you don't want your good to be spoken of as evil. Separate hotel rooms. Back then, you could pay cash for a hotel room. We did. You know, she paid hers. I paid mine. You know, we drove out. And we're believing God. We're praying. We're listening to worship music. Driving all the way out to Oklahoma. 1,500 miles. 24 driving hours. And, you know, she'd already been out to Oral Roberts University. She was a smart girl. She had scholarships. She had money. She's ready to go. Me, on the other hand, I have an acceptance letter. That's what I had. I had never been there, didn't know what to expect. And I drive on campus, or before I even drive on campus, I'm needing a job. I'm thinking, God, I got to have a job. I got to have a job. So I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to get a job. And so even before I left Florida, see, there are certain natural things. I'm telling this story, and I'm not sure why. So some of you might need to listen to this. Because some of you have heard this story, but I'm telling you some details I haven't told. And so while I'm in Florida, before internet, before any of that, I put a resume together of what I did in high school and the things that I did in church, the things that I did in my youth group, the things that I did as president of the youth group, the things that I did in science, anything that I was involved in, marching band, I put together. It was really just a brag list, okay? And because when you're 17, you don't have much of a resume. You understand? So I put together that I worked for the Computer Center of the Palm Beaches. I put that I worked for Mr. Edo Bolt, who was a millionaire. And he owned all kinds of businesses. I put that. I put all these things, and I found yellow pages at my local library. This is what you had to do back then. It took effort. The yellow pages for Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I found all the computer stores that were near Oral Roberts University. And I sent that resume a week before I drove away to all those computer stores. If you have any spot for a part-time worker, I'm going to school at Oral Roberts University. I'd love to work for you. So my friend Therese and I, we're driving. We stop at a rest stop. We see somebody that had a Jesus bumper sticker. Now, I was famous for having Jesus bumper stickers. Before they were in style, I had Jesus bumper stickers. I had Jesus Loves You bumper sticker on my car. Unashamedly, I was the Jesus freak at my high school. Yes, I was. And I remember we're there in Arkansas, and we see these people. They have a Jesus bumper sticker. They're all college students, just like us. We get out of the car. We start talking to them. They're Christians, and they're heading to where? Oral Roberts University. Was that a coincidence? I think not. At a rest stop in the middle of Arkansas? Seriously. We said, oh, well, we'll see you in Oklahoma. We said, yeah, we'll see you in Oklahoma. Six hours later, we drove in at dinner time. Therese says to me, I want salad. I'm like, I don't want salad. But she wanted salad. She goes, but there's a good place. There's a sizzling steakhouse. And I'm thinking, I don't have the money for a steak, girl. But she goes, they have a salad bar. I'm like, okay. So she drags me to the salad bar at Sizzling Steakhouse. Do you know who was in that restaurant? Oh, those people that we met in Arkansas. This is a God story. See, God shows up. And so then I'm there, and they said, oh, come meet my brother. He's a graduate of Oral Roberts University Business School. And I said, oh, hi, my name's Doug. I go, what are you doing now? And he looked at me and he says, I'm the manager of the computer center.
Glory.
Computer land of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I said, is that the one that's like a mile away from the university? He says, yeah, that's the one. I said, my name's Douglas Mitchell. I think I sent you my resume. He said, actually, as a matter of fact, I did see your resume this week. He looked at me and goes, you got a job. I'll see you. Just come see me. I had been in town for 4 hours. 4 hours. And I get a job. I'm like, God, you must really want me here. So now I'm like looking around everywhere. Lord, what else you got for me? Next morning, wake up, go to registration. I don't have money. I don't have money to go to school. I have a promise of a student loan. One. It's not even fully processed yet. I have $700 to my name, if I counted everything, the change in the seats of my car. And I'm going up the escalator, and it's getting backed up. People are looking at paperwork. And a man says to me, you go here. And he sent me through the prepaid line. I wasn't going to argue. I said, but, and he goes, no, just go through this line. You'll be fine. So I go through that line. Do you know that I went through the prepaid line? They stamped everything paid. And it wasn't for another 3 months did they catch their error. And I wasn't going to tell them their error. I figured they knew what they were doing. I didn't. And then they told me I could charge my books in the student bookstore. I charged $400 worth of books in the student bookstore. Got me a t-shirt, Oral Roberts University. Moved into my dorm and started class. That was miraculous. It was miraculous. Why do I tell you that story? Because 2023 has opportunities to step out in faith that are bigger than you are.
Amen.
They're bigger than we are. When we look around at this church, there are going to be opportunities that come for us to reach this community, for us to establish a stronger ministry in this community that are going to take faith. They're going to take us stepping out when there's nothing there. That's what faith is. So as I began to think about Jesus first. First things first. Jesus first. What about you? What about me? What about your family? This church. Shall we walk into the new year without regard to these first principles? To the first principles. After we received Christ. After we received Christ. What was it? What was it that really drove us? Billy Sunday said this. He said that the world needs a simple exaltation of Christ. That's what Matthew did. Guess what? That's what Mark did. That's what John did. That's what Luke did in Acts. That's what Paul did in Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon. That's what Paul did. That's what Peter did in 1st and 2nd Peter. That's what John did in 1st John. That's what Jude did in Jude. That's what John did in Revelation. Luke chapter 4 and verse 20. When Jesus read the prophet Isaiah, after he read the scroll, in verse 20 it says, after he read this, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And everyone stared at Jesus, wondering, what was he about to say? In 2023, would we be so attentive as we put our goals in order, as we look across what we feel like God wants us to accomplish, would we be like those in that synagogue after Jesus read the prophet Isaiah, would we be so attentive that we just waited to hear what he said next? What's he saying to you next? What's he saying to you for 2023? Are you listening? That's where prayer comes in. That's where prayer comes in. You know, when I was first a Christian back at the old Kaiser days, I remember one of the things that was taught me as a young Christian was there were four principles or elements to make a strong Christian. And I want to just look at those briefly today. Four principles that we should use as self-reflection. Like, where are we at when it comes to this? And those four principles were, number one, prayer. How much time do I really fellowship with God? Prayer is not a one-way communication. It's two ways. It's us communing with God. It's a conversation with God. It's not just one way. So if you're praying, Lord, just and you're praying, right? All the stuff that you want done, and then you're like, thanks God, gotta go. He might just want to answer some of those things. He might just want to direct you to a scripture so that you can adjust your own heart about something. He might redirect you. Remember that phrase, good is the enemy of the best. He could get you to discern between the good and the best. He could get you to be in that perfect spot, not the spot. I don't want us as a church to finish 2023 out going, I don't. I believe God has good things for us. He's got better days for us. He's got plans for us to reach people. To keep that as the main thing. What does Jesus do? He reaches people. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Would we put that filter on everything that we do? I'm reminded of what happened when Jesus, turn with me to Matthew 17 very quickly. In Matthew 17, the first element that I'm talking to you about is prayer, but I want you to see something in Matthew 17 first. In Matthew 17, if you remember, this was the Transfiguration. Verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. They saw no one but Jesus only. Would it be that we face 2023 with that mindset? That I'm waiting for Jesus to say the next thing. I'm looking for Jesus and I only see him. Because I'm only going to follow his voice. I'm not going to follow the voice of another. I'm not going to just stay in my head and try to figure it all out. Because you can't figure it all out. You won't. But if you'll be led by the Spirit of God, God will lead you into great things in 2023. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, Peter opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, all of these texts that we're reading point to Jesus. First things first, Jesus. First things first, Jesus. Is he Lord of your life in 2023? It's only hours old right now. Is he truly Lord? Does he call the shots? Are you waiting for his beckon word? That's going to come through that element of prayer. The second element I learned as a teenage young man was read the word. If you're not reading the word of God, then the word can't have a place inside because he is the living word. And the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And as a discerner, listen to that, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of what? The heart. God knows you better than you know you. And his word will cut through some of your own emotions, some of your own stinking human thinking. One of our teenagers showed me a really cool pocket Bible that actually has Hebrews 4:12 like etched on the front of it. And I thought that was really cool because it just reminds you what the importance of that word, the importance of having the word of God as part of your standard, as part of your first things first. Is prayer first? Are you waking up in the morning just stressing out and being anxious about the day or what's on the horizon for you? Are you looking at 2023 as just being anxious? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? If all you're doing is watching the news, then it's going to stress you out. It's going to stress you out. But if you go to the Word, it's going to bring peace. It's going to bring answers. It's going to bring help even before you even knew help that you needed to help. Wait, I didn't know that. So, prayer, Bible reading. This is a great time of year to start I'm going to read the Bible through in the whole year. Now, if you fall on your face and you don't make it, don't beat yourself up. Just get some word in you. You know, get some word in you. Don't give up. You say, you know, I've talked to Christians over the years and they say, I'm going to spend an hour and a half with Jesus every day. And I'm thinking, well, how much time are you spending with him now? And if they're like, well, I'm not. Well, that might be not a very smart goal. That's more like wishful thinking. That's more like a resolution. It's much better. Just say, you know what? I'm just going to spend time with God every day and not put a time limit on. God can accomplish more with you in 5 minutes than you lying around on the floor slinging snot and crying about all the things that are wrong in your life. Don't get mad at me. You know that sometimes that's what our prayer life's like. I'm just telling the truth. I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. And I know there have been times that I've been the guy slinging snot, wallowing around on the floor. And it doesn't help. Because sometimes, you know what he'll do to you? If you'll listen, he'll say, get up, son. Now stop it. Isn't that what you've done to your kids when they've wallowed? Come on. He's our father. He'll talk to you. He'll correct you. I'm meddling now. All right. Prayer, Bible reading, because you let the Word read you, it'll correct you. The next thing that I want to talk to you about is fellowship. Fellowship. Christian community, where you can learn, grow, serve, give. Christian community. I hear the world talk a lot about community right now. It's a buzzword. Well, that's part of my community. It's part of my community because they think like me. I think God has a better plan. And it's called the church. It's called the body of Christ. Be connected to the body of Christ. You know, can you pray and read your Bible without going to church? Of course you could. But where else are you going to learn and grow and be challenged to grow if you're not in Christian community? Because guess what? Brother Adam, come on up here for a second. All right. What happens when you're in Christian community is you form relationships. Relationships help you get through difficult times. Relationships also are not always easy. Because, you know, after a period of years, Brother Adam might see things about me that he doesn't like. And you know what? I might see things about him that I don't like. But guess what? As we walk with Christ and keep our eyes on Jesus, we stay together regardless of some of those things. Because, let's be honest, we know that we get on each other's nerves if you're around each other long enough. True? Just ask your family. Just ask your family. Right? Right? So what I'm trying to say is this. A fellowship gives you an opportunity to really walk in love. It gives you an opportunity to grow. It gives you opportunity sometimes to get challenged by people who maybe you wouldn't normally click with them. Maybe you wouldn't normally pick them as a friend. Okay? Now, it happens to be that I probably would pick Adam as a friend because he and I get Adam. He's a good guy. I get him. You know, but sometimes God will put people that'll just rub you the wrong way. And God's saying, but that's still your sister. That's still your brother. Guess what? You've been called together to do something great. Thank you, Brother Adam. If you don't believe what I just said is true, then you're not being honest. Because all you have to do is look at the disciples. The disciples, they went to their death for the cause of Christ. Why? Because they had put first things first. And yes, they occasionally had disagreements. We see that with Paul and Barnabas. We see that in the scripture. But we also see that they were willing to go to their death for the cause of Christ. They were willing to pen such words as, God is love. My little children, walk in love. It's said, and it is a legend, we don't have this in scripture, that when John, the apostle John, he is the only disciple not to die a martyr's death, that we hear that John, in the city of Ephesus, they would haul him on a stretcher in his old age to speak to the church. And they would say, John, do you have any wisdom for the church? And in his old age, John would say, little children, love one another. Little children, love one another. Why am I talking about this? Being connected to a local body of Christ is essential for a successful Christian life. It's essential. And this day and age, we see so many people pull away from actually being a part of, quote, organized religion because they're all afraid that somehow there's some flaws in it. Well, do you remember the old saying that you're looking for a church that's perfect? And as soon as you arrived, it wasn't. Right? Because we are still flawed human beings. Thanks be to God. We've got to put first things first. Put Jesus first. So notice what I said there, that fellowship was a Christian community where you could learn, grow, serve, give. And then the last element that makes you, I believe, a strong Christian is outreach, witness. What is your witness like? What is your witness? What is your mission like? Are you able to share the gospel? How Jesus changed my life. I remember I was annoying when I first became a Christian. I was annoying to tell everybody what Jesus had done for me. Some people, they got upset with me. They never really talked to me again. Others found me later on and said, I want to talk to you. Every no is closer to a yes. I want to challenge you. Those four elements, I want you to visualize in your mind that that is like a stool that you're sitting on top of. If each one of those legs is balanced, you'll be seated on a very strong and stable chair or stool. If any one of those four elements that I just shared with you is out of balance, then guess what? You are out of balance. And there's a possibility you could slip off of that chair. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. Don't send me hate email. I'm talking about you could find yourself crashing. You could find yourself not in the right space, not in the right place. If you find yourself in 2023 putting first things first and deciding my prayer life is a priority, Jesus number one, my Bible reading is a priority, even if it's just a verse a day. Listen, folks, these obnoxious pieces of electronic that we carry around with us, they have the ability to be a tool as well. They are not all evil. It is what you use it for. So if you would use it to set a reminder, if you would use it to sign up for one of these, you get a verse a day. You don't even have to crack your Bible. They make it easy. Now, I would advise you that a real book and a real Bible is a good thing to know. Look at that. Another device. But why do I tell you this? Because in 2023, if we're going to do all that God wants us to do, if we're going to accomplish personally. What are those four things? What are those four things? Prayer, my fellowship with Jesus, the Bible. Are we reading the Bible so that it can bring correction to us? Because, you know, there are verses that if you read them, there's no wiggle room. There's no wiggle room. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's going to change maybe the way you eat. I'm not saying it has to. Just saying these are things that when we read them, they read us. Because the Word of God is a living, active, alive. So, prayer, Bible reading, fellowship. So, 2023. Did you find yourself in fellowship where you could be with believers of like precious faith so that when you did have a difficulty, you could pick up the phone and say, you know, brother, sister, could you please pray with me about this? Some of you have done that with me. Some of you have been, you've been hurting. You've called me up. You've sent me a message. Could you pray for me? Could you pray for my friend that's burdening me right now? And you know, because my friend is hurting, I want you to pray with me about my friend. You've done that. What is that? That's being part of a Christian community. That's being part of a family that says, I will rejoice when I hear good things. I will I will huddle around you when you've gone through something difficult, a hospital visit, a death in the family, those kind of things where we need each other. We need each other. Maybe a loss of a job, maybe a financial reversal, maybe a difficult relationship, maybe a tragedy has happened in your life, and you just need somebody to talk to, somebody to pray with. You know, every one of us in this room have stories we could tell where Christian brothers and sisters were there for us. Were there for us when we were going through it. Be a part of Christian fellowship. If you're watching online and you don't have a home church, you need to get one. If you're a part of us and you want to connect with us online, connect with us. Let us minister to you. If you're here in this place, physically in this place, connect with us. Be vulnerable enough to let somebody in. You say, well, I've been hurt by Christians. Listen, if you've been a Christian for, very long at all, you probably have. Why? Because we're all imperfect. Christians have hurt me. Quote, churches have hurt me. Doesn't stop me from being a part of what Jesus came to give his life for. The body of Christ. The bride of Christ. Churches are those local expressions of the body of Christ. To be a part. To say, would you pray with me about this? Would you agree with me about this? Remember I started my story out telling you that I went to Mr. Kaiser because I was looking at a bunch of choices. And they were all good. And he said to me, good is the enemy of the best, but I'm not going to make that choice for you. When you're in fellowship, you can make right choices because you're hearing the word preached. You're hearing faith to stir your heart to step out and maybe do something that you wouldn't normally do. You're going to learn some things that you didn't know before. And we together can do great things for the kingdom of God. As you take time to start off this year, set your goals thoughtfully. Don't just flippantly do it because it's January 1st. If you need to take till January 7th, 8th, or even February 1st to get yourself in a place where you know that you've spiritually prayed about and thought through what those goals are, then don't be pressured by workplace coffee break talk. What's your resolution? Don't be pressured by that. People talk about young people going through peer pressure. I've got news for you. I've learned a long time ago, everybody goes through peer pressure. Garbage in, garbage out. If you're not putting the word in, if you're not reinforcing what the word of God says, you're not spending fellowship time with the Lord Jesus, you're not putting first things first, it's easy to fall to peer pressure. It's easy to chuckle at an inappropriate joke or look the wrong way at somebody. Or if you're driving down the road, you might be tempted even with your Jesus bumper sticker to give somebody hand sign language. Every one of us has been tempted in that area. Some people, that's an easy thing. They don't drive angry. Other people, they drive angry. They need to be careful. See, every one of us have different weaknesses, right? So, just take a big deep breath. Don't give in to the peer pressure. If you need to take time to set your goals, to set your vision for 2023, just because the clock ticked, let's see, 12 hours ago, does not mean that you, I didn't set my goals yet. Okay. And what else? You still have time. As long as you have breath and Jesus hasn't come back yet, you have time.
Amen.
Right? So what we want to do, check our prayer life, check our Bible reading life, our fellowship life, our witness What are we doing to actually tell people what Jesus has done for us? It's one thing to be a part of an outreach that we as a church do. What does your life and witness communicate to the unbeliever at work? What does it communicate to that neighbor who you know doesn't know Christ? That family member who you know doesn't know Christ? What does your life communicate? Is it, I love you and I want to pray for you, I want to be there for you? Or is it, I'm angry with you? The world has seen too many angry Christians. Let's have 2023 be Jesus first. Let's check ourselves in these areas, the elementary areas of prayer, Bible reading, fellowship, and outreach. Let's check ourselves. Prayer. If you felt like, hey, you know what? My prayer life was a little lacking last year. Well, then get yourself not a time goal, but a consistency goal. If you can talk to the Lord every single day, then you can actually start to develop the praying without ceasing that the Apostle Paul talks about. Praying without ceasing. Well, how do you pray without ceasing when you've got to go to a job and check on a chilling unit on top of a 30-story building, right, Brother Adam? How do you still do that? Well, under your breath. Boy, thank God we can pray in the Holy Ghost. You can pray in other tongues under your breath, and you can have fellowship with God and just start praying. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people see me driving down the road, see me mowing lawn, seeing me, you know, if you ever see me and I'm running my snowblower at my house when it snows and I don't like snow, I'm not believing for any snow this year. It's not my thing. I don't believe for snow. I believe for dry winters. I do. Not drought, but dry winters. I'll take rain, but not snow. And if you see me blowing my snowblower, you know, on my driveway, many times, if I don't have like earbuds or something in my ears, which sometimes I do, but sometimes I'm just out there, I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost because it's a mindless action. And I would rather just pray in the Holy Ghost and fellowship with my Heavenly Father rather than waste that time. And so I just want to challenge you, look for opportunities. Driving to work, that could be an opportunity of fellowship with God instead of just listening to, you know, regular music. If you're going to listen to music, I always tell you, listen to praise and worship music. Listen to something that's going to what? Put Jesus first. Jesus first. And by the way, remember I told you that 27 books out of the 27, that most of them, 23, jump right into Jesus. Do you know the other four actually mention Jesus within the first two verses? That tells me this, that the Word of God points to Jesus. And we should put everything we do in that same first things first mentality as we start this new year off. As we start this new year off, let it be a consecration to God that you say, I am going to, not a resolution, but as a true commitment to your Heavenly Father, that I'm going to check up, Lord. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to put you first in prayer. I'm going to put you first in reading the Word. I'm going to put you first in my fellowship with other believers of like precious faith. I'm going to put you first in my outreach to others. There's a lot of other things, even good things, that can come and get in the way. Good is the enemy of the best. Let's find the best. The best is always found in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that this year is a year where we can start fresh, start new, have an opportunity to see new things, to do new things, to have new adventures with you. And Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are leading and guiding us into all truth. Father God, you're leading and guiding us into adventures of faith in our personal lives as a life of this church. Father, putting us into a position to go to that next place you have for us, that next season of ministry. Lord, we're praying for revival. And God, we're praying, Lord, that each person that hears the word would be challenged, would be renewed. And as we start this year, Lord, that we truly, truly would put you first in everything. First in everything. That would be our criteria to set goals. That would be our criteria to make decisions about jobs, about relationships, about schools, about work, about family, houses, cars. Where am I supposed to live? Where am I supposed to work? When am I supposed to change my job situation, my income situation? When am I supposed to do these things? But Father, I thank you that we can give all of those things to you. And we can put you first. And I thank you, Lord, you lead and direct us so that we'll choose the best and not just settle for something that's not. So, Father, I thank you for that word. And thank you, God, for ministering to your people. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, or if you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to know him. The Bible makes it very clear that to know Jesus, it's an amazing thing. You'll never be disappointed. Not with Jesus. People, yes. Organizations, churches, yes. But not ever with Jesus. He'll never put you to shame. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if we would believe in our heart and confess him as our Lord and Savior with our mouth, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. It's called the born again experience. If that's you and you want to be born again, I want you to slip up your hand. If you're watching online, you can just pray right where you are. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. We're going to pray it out loud together. And God will meet you right in that spot. And he will bring salvation to you. Forgiveness to you. A fresh start to you. So just say this with me right now. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I come before you.
I come before you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
The Son of God.
That he died for my sins.
He died for my sins.
That he was raised from the dead.
That he was raised from the dead.
I receive his forgiveness.
I receive his forgiveness.
By faith.
By faith.
And I confess Jesus.
And I confess Jesus.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer or a prayer similar to it for the first time, I want to know about it. I want to send you something. I want to help you in your walk with God. If you're here in this place, I want you to make sure that you tell two or three people before you leave that Jesus met you today and that you got born again. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful?
Yes, he is.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you, I don't believe I took the offering, but if you would like to give, you can give online. I just realized that.
Hallelujah.
Through the text to give, you can give right in the back there. We appreciate everybody who partners with this ministry. It is a faith ministry. We're believing God for great things for 2023. And I just thank you for watching. I thank you for being a part. You can text to give at 914-825-6555. Praise God. Thank God for his faithfulness. He's good. If you need prayer for any other special reason, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you need prayer for healing, or you need ministry, you can either message us. I'm going to avail myself today after the service to agree with you in prayer. Maybe it's about decisions you need to make for 2023. Whatever it is, I'm just going to be right here praying with you, praying for you. We have some cookies and coffee in the foyer right now. We wish everybody a very happy New Year. Join us online Wednesday nights. Foundations Live at 7:30. God bless you. Let's stand together. Let's read our sending out verse. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. We'll see you next time.